Topic 64, The Great Invocation. First Stanza, 1935. Let the forces of light bring illumination to mankind. Let the spirit of peace be spread abroad. May men of goodwill everywhere meet in a spirit of cooperation. May forgiveness on the part of all men be the keynote at this time. Let power attend the efforts of the great ones. So let it be, and help us to do our part. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 3, Esoteric Astrology, page 570, and from Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1. Second Stanza, 1940. Let the Lord of Liberation issue forth. Let him bring succor to the sons of men. Let the writer from the secret place come forth, and coming, save. Come forth, O Mighty One. Let the souls of men awaken to the light, and may they stand with massed intent. Let the fiat of the Lord go forth. The end of woe has come. Come forth, O Mighty One. The hour of service of the saving force has now arrived. Let it be spread abroad, O Mighty One. Let light and love and power and death fulfill the purpose of the coming one. The will to save is here. The love to carry forth the work is widely spread abroad. The active aid of all who know the truth is also here. Come forth, O Mighty One, and blend these three. Construct a great defending wall. The rule of evil now must end. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 3, Esoteric Astrology, page 571, and from Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1. Third Stanza, April 1945. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Some time ago, I gave out to the world, under instruction from the Christ, an invocation that is destined to become of major usefulness in bringing about certain great events. These are, 1. An outpouring of love and light upon mankind from Shambhala. 2. An invocatory appeal to the Christ, the head of the hierarchy, to reappear. 3. The establishing on earth of the divine plan to be accomplished willingly by humanity itself. Incidentally, these three events are relatively near, and will be brought about by a conscious working out of the immediate phase of the plan, which it is the divine intention to bring about to a certain extent before the reappearance of the Christ. The establishing of right human relations is the immediate task, and is that phase of the plan of love and light to which humanity can most easily respond, and for which they are already evidencing a sense of responsibility. Little attention has been paid to the factor of invocation as expressed by the people of the world, yet down the ages the invocative cry of humanity has risen to the hierarchy and brought response. Now the great invocation as used by the hierarchy itself has been given out to the world. So reactionary is human thinking that the claim made by me that it is one of the greatest of the world's prayers and is on a par with the other voiced expressions of spiritual desire and intent, will evoke criticism. That is of no importance. The uniqueness connected with the invocation consists in the fact that it is, in reality, a great method of integration. It links the Father, the Christ, and humanity in one great relationship. The great invocation relates the will of the Father, or of Shambhala, the love of the hierarchy, and the service of humanity into one great triangle of energies. This triangle will have two major results: the sealing of the door where evil dwells, and the working out through the power of God, let loose on earth through the invocation of the plan of love and light. When we invoke the mind of God and say, "Let light stream forth into the minds of men, let light descend on earth," we are voicing one of the great needs of humanity. And if invocation and prayer mean anything at all, the answer is certain and sure. When we find present in all people at all times, in every age, and in every situation, the urge to voice an appeal to the unseen spiritual center, there is a fixed surety that such a center exists. Invocation is as old as the hills, or as old as humanity itself. Therefore, no other argument for its usefulness or its potency is required. The usual invocative appeal has hitherto been selfish in its nature and temporary in its formulation. Men have prayed for themselves. They have invoked divine help for those they love. They have given a material interpretation to their basic needs. The invocation lately given to us by the hierarchy is a world prayer. It has no personal appeal or temporal invocative urge. It expresses humanity's need and pierces through all the difficulties, doubts, and questionings, straight to the mind and the heart of the one in whom we live and move and have our being, the one who will stay with us until the end of time itself, and until the last weary pilgrim has found his way home. But the invocation is not vague and nebulous. It voices the basic needs of mankind today, the need for light and love, for understanding of the divine will, and for the end of evil. It says triumphantly, "Let light descend on earth. May Christ return to earth. Let purpose guide the little wills of men. Let the plan seal the door where evil dwells." It then sums it all up in the clarion words, "Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth." Always the emphasis is laid upon the place of appearance and of manifestation, the earth. Already this invocation is doing much to change world affairs, far more than may appear to your eyes. Much remains to be done. I would ask all students, all men of goodwill, and all who are participating in the work of the triangles and helping to build the network of light and goodwill, to do all that is possible to spread the use of the invocation. The invocation has been sent out by the combined ashrams of the masters and by the entire hierarchy. It is used by its members with constancy, exactitude, and power. It will serve to integrate the two great centers, the hierarchy and humanity, and to relate them both in a new and dynamic manner to the center where the will of God is known. I ask you, therefore, during the coming years, to prepare, to use, and to distribute the invocation, and to make it a major endeavor. From a treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, pages 755 through 759. See also Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, pages 149 through 150 and 156 through 176.